This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The East Side Education and Training Center is a one-stop shop for helping residents find a place in the workforce. In addition to job training, there's childcare, GED services, and job placement. But maybe more importantly, there is a generosity of spirit there, a spirit of helping. This is a community-based approach that is quickly racking up a record of success. But what does the future hold for the EETC? Give us a call if you've had contact with the East Side Education and Training Center. It's made an impact on your life. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. And you can tweet at us at tprsource. The number again is 210-614-8980. We're joined this afternoon by City Council Representative for District 2, William Cruz Shaw. Also with us is Michelle Vigil. She is the Senior Management Analyst for the Office of East Point. And Federico Zaragoza is the Vice Chancellor of Economic and Workforce Development for the Alamo College. It's great to have you here today.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
You.
So, Councilman Shaw, just give me the overview. Like, you tell someone for the very first time, we've got this going on the East Side, the East Side Education and Training Center. Tell me what that is.
You know, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to give folks employed and earn certain skills they didn't have before to go into the workforce. And at the same time, they receive so many different resources like childcare, GED services. So they get the opportunity to be productive citizens to our society, but more importantly, like you said, it brings community together in a collaborative spirit to promote our community and the good things that we can do for our citizens.
So how does someone first, you know, take advantage of these services? What barriers are there?
I don't think there's many barriers at all. They just need to walk in. They walk in, they sit down and talk with the representative, figure out what they want to do, and then they kind of discuss what barriers they may have, i.e. childcare services. The ETSI will go ahead and line them up for childcare. So it's about communication. They have a case manager that will sit down with them, talk to them about what's going to hinder their success. They work out a plan to overcome that success, and they get them enrolled in class.
Okay, how much is it going to cost them?
Nothing. It's free of charge.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah,
how come we haven't said that before?
Right.
This is a phenomenal program that is ready, loaded. It's ready to go. People, all we need is people who want to take advantage of
right.
it.
Right, right. People that are dedicated, who want to go out there and make a difference in their families' lives as well as in the community.
Okay, let's talk about job training opportunities. So, Michelle Vigil, can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So the Eastside Education and Training Center focuses on in-demand job training. We want to make sure that these different paths that they're taking actually have a job waiting for them at the end of the line. You know, that's the one thing we've realized, that many of our students have been through a lot of struggles or are currently dealing with several issues. And the last thing we want to do is set them up for a career that has no job availability at the moment. So what we do is focus definitely on like different careers, such as like the medical career, which is our HPOG program. It's our healthcare grant that we have. Also, for example, they have different types of like construction training, and also the assessment. So, you know, when we go back into, you know, when the student walks in the door, we need to make sure that the student is ready. So what they'll do is we'll understand how everything is at home. Are they okay? Are they set up? What barriers they might need, you know, as spoken before, for childcare, we'll have that available. Can they get to class? We work with VIA. We work with other partners to make sure they can get there. And then we do what we call the holistic assessments to make sure that they're able to read correctly and they have a comprehension that'll be able to help them succeed in the program and make sure that they pass each one of these courses. So we do have a variety of courses. So that's why we go all the way back to GED, because some students might be required to have a high school diploma by the time they finish. So going on that track is where we make sure that they're good to go. Once they've already been able to enroll in a class that they would like to do, then that's where we give them different options. So we have welding, construction, HPOG, vocational nursing, that type of thing. So that's pretty much the main curriculum of at the ETSI.
So if I show up and I dropped out of high school, I didn't graduate, I didn't get a GED, I've had all this drama in my life. Now I've realized I got to get it together. This is a great place to show up, and I hear that with the Eastside Education and Training Center. First thing you do is show up. That's the first
right.
step, you know, and keep showing up.
Absolutely.
You know, and don't let things get in your way. But in that process, you tell them, if you're GED, we can help you with that. That's a big step.
Exactly. Just to make sure, you know, that they're good to go and also just have that extra, you know, high school diploma that they might be required, you know, in the future. We hope that, you know, they stay on the career path that they're on and even move on even more. Many of them have been so motivated after going into vocational nursing that, you know, they're on track to getting their RN or be able to move up. It's also explained to families that maybe you don't need to have 2 and 3 jobs. If you work, you know, 1 to 2 jobs with a higher pay, then you will also have more time for your family, for yourself, and also to be able to, you know, spend more time with those that you love and have time to do that.
Federico Zaragoza, Vice Chancellor of Economic and Workforce Development at Alamo Colleges. You hear it from both sides. You hear it from the business community saying, we need people ready to work. And then you hear from students saying, I can't find a job.
David, what we hear a lot is, and they don't have the skills necessary for the jobs.
You got it. So it's up to you to figure out how to put those things together.
And we can never do it in a vacuum. We've got some great partners. Obviously, you talked a little bit about the barriers, and Alamo College has a tremendous instructional component, and we're very good at instilling the job skills necessary for employers. But many of the individuals have needs for daycare. Some of them need a case management. Life happens to them. And so we really need a village to support them through this whole process. And that's what's so unique about the ESET Education and Training Center. It's not just them getting job skills and getting the training. It's creating those cohorts where they get motivated, they get reconnected, and then they become basically the chain of success that the community looks at. We focus on demand occupations, as has been stated, but everyone that graduates has an industry certification in a demand occupation. So these are career pathways. The other element is about 30% of these clients that come to us actually continue in higher education. So it's not just a connect to the job place. For many of them, it's kind of that career pathway that's going to get them to maximize their full potential.
So a lot of people, they say, once they get started, well, that was always the hard part, is defining the yes. on-ramp. And once you get on the on-ramp and you're on the highway and you're finally doing something, you realize, man, I just want to keep going.
Absolutely.
And so, and how do you do that? How do you, and still a lot of people need to work. They got to take care of the family. You know, it's a balancing act.
In the community, the most effective tool for us has been word of mouth and the infrastructure that's already there, the community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, the words out there in the streets. And so many of the students that we're getting are coming in through those networks. But then we've got some very good partners like San Antonio Housing Authority is one of our major recruitment sources. Many of the young people and adults in those communities are hearing about the ETC, and they're coming in and they're connecting to the opportunities that we have, but it's really the whole community. It's the ecosystem, and it really, at the end of the day, is individuals kind of finding out that there's an opportunity for them to reconnect with either education and or work.
So the Eastside Education and Training Center, tailor-made to help residents get them into the workforce, but it's also a community-driven enterprise. We're going to talk more about that. We'll talk about where the funding has come from and where we hope it's going to be coming from in the future, how we got to make sure that this is sustainable in the long run. And we would really like to hear from our listeners. Did you have any contact with the Eastside Education and Training Center or the Westside Education Training Center? Because it's based on the same thing. We can yes. talk about that as well. What you think we ought to be doing in San Antonio? We know we have a lot of people who want to work. This is a hard working community, but some people missed out when they went to school. You know, a lot of people sometimes didn't take advantage of that, but it's not too late. We are a city of second chances, and this is a second chance right here. We'll talk more about that. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Have you heard of the Eastside Education and Training Center? Well, now you are, and you will be hearing about it into the future, because this is a program that is providing life-changing opportunities for individuals in San Antonio on the East Side. It's a place where you can go to get a job training, get your GED. There's child care there. There's job placement opportunities. This is a place where we see that lives can be changed. want to give us a call if you've had contact with the East Side Education and Training Center. There's also the West Side Education and Training Center, which the East Side one was based on. And just this whole concept of what we can do to reach out to our workforce here, our residents here in San Antonio, and bring them into the workforce. The number is 210-614-8980. And with me now is William Cruz Shaw, the San Antonio Council member for District 2. You must have heard stories of people who have gone through this program already and have just are doing things.
Absolutely. You know, they had a graduation, I believe, it was a couple of months ago, and I was very fortunate to be there and to speak. And for a lot of these individuals that graduated the program, they were the first ones in their families to actually go on to higher education. And a lot of them had children. And you can see the emotion on their faces and see how proud of they're proud of themselves, their parents were proud, but most importantly, their children were proud. And to see, you can't put that into words. And you can see how blessed and how eager they were to get out there and get ready, get to work. And their children were wearing their cap and gowns. So they're kind of role-playing, saying, one day I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go out there and into the workforce and be a productive member to society. It was remarkable. And the first two roles were full of people. And they couldn't stop crying. Their kids were sitting there in their laps. They were holding and hugging each other, so emotional. You can't put that into words, because you can tell how this changes someone's perspective on life, how it changes their trajectory on life, and how they feel about themselves. This is more than just getting a certificate and getting a job. It changes a person's mentality. And people from all over the city come over here to EDSE to receive those services.
And so we hear from certain sectors all the time about trying to break the cycle of poverty, trying to end the mentality of government dependency. But in order to do that, it takes investment. We have to invest in the community, and we have to provide people the opportunity and the mentors and give people second chances, because, you know, you may step up the bat the first time and not hit a home run, but you got to be able to have a chance to step up again and take another shot at it.
Right. You know, I'm a baseball guy, so sometimes you don't need to hit a home run. Sometimes you're good with a single or a double. But as long as you keep playing the game, okay, then that's when you score your runs. So staying engaged, staying involved, and realizing you're going to score. So just stay involved, stay motivated, but most importantly, show your loved ones and your children that you can too go out and do great things and stay in the community.
We got to make sure the game's fair.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's the hard part. That's the hard
this
part.
This is a chance to do that. This is a chance to level the playing field.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people didn't get that first chance at bat. They went in at the bat. They didn't give them a bat. You know,
right.
So what are you going to do?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, and I'm glad we're talking about that, because, you know, one thing that we're trying to really push down at City Hall is a second chance initiative. And I think that's what EDSE provides for many individuals. Second chance meaning those individuals who've been incarcerated or on probation or parole. When they get out, they need to have some kind of job. And some employers are very hesitant to hire those individuals. EDSE gives those people the opportunity to go out there, earn a certificate, learn a trade, and go out there and become employed. And therefore, they're making an honest living. They're doing great things for the community, for their families, and for themselves. So it keeps people honest, and most importantly, it keeps them from recidivism.
You know, a lot of times people have that box, check the box, and they don't understand the story behind the box. And so frequently a lot of people get wrapped up into the legal system, and they're told to plead out. Mm-hmm. They didn't even get a day in court because they couldn't get a lawyer, and they were stuck in jail, and they said the way to get home is to go ahead and sign this plead out, and now you can go home. And they don't tell them that they're going to be dealing with this for the rest of their life, and they have just locked themselves out of all of these opportunities. And so the idea is to not just ignore the fact that these things happen to individuals, but to give someone an opportunity to tell you their story and you to meet them face to face and see what kind of individual this is. And maybe this person is just the person that you've been looking for.
Absolutely.
And you can do the job and do the training. You just got to give them a chance.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to go take a call. This is Desiree, and the number to call in is 210-614-8980 as we talk about EDSE, the East Side Education and Training Center. And Desiree, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Desiree.
Thank you. So I just wanted to comment on that and add to that. So I work with the court, and we have our truancy court settings there for students who aren't attending school the way they should be. And in some cases, a traditional high school setting, it's not a fit for them. So we'll refer them over there to the other side, what we call the other side, because they can get them that GED and job training. And in some cases, I've seen several cases where the parents will say, hey, I didn't know that was available to all of us. Can I do it too? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. So we have moms and dads and their students all going to a GED class and completing and getting some job training as well. And I think it's just a wonderful thing because it opens up their eyes to something that they didn't know was available to them. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing to see them get educated together. And that makes me really, really happy.
All right, Desiree, thank you so much for the call. Let's talk about the wide array of different training opportunities that there are out there. So Michelle Vigil, it's the medical training and tech training, but also things like welding and stuff.
Right. Also, you know, as we keep it in mind, the second chance portion, there are some offenses where maybe we have to also find a fit that would be good for them. Depending on what their offense is, we also try to make sure that they're in a realistic career where they can also be able to advance. Sometimes it may be construction, it may be welding, it may be warehousing, it may be logistics, depending on what that might be. And there is a very high demand for that. You know, we are also the hub of, like, say, for example, the Coca-Colas or Pepsis, you know, they're in very need of like warehouse to be able to help like in that portion as well. So it's a good variety. It's a different types of fields where, you know, we also skew to make sure that there is available for males and females, which they're both interested. And we try to keep that variety open with someone that will be in demand, connecting with hospitals, connecting with different local areas that are also trying to attract that type of skill set.
And Federico Zaragoza, over at the Alamo Colleges. So are y'all like a big funder of this? How does this work?
Actually, we're the central partner, facilitator, if you will, for the facility. So we manage the facility in partnership with the Promise Zone and with the United Way and Goodwill, and soon to have Workforce Students Alamo. So when you talked about a one-stop center, it's also an integrated center. So we manage it. We have a sustainability plan that our Board of Trustees approved, where actually the partners are actually paying the rent. So we're self-sustaining to that effect. We're not depending on grants. We believe this model is important to be able to plan ahead and to make sure that these services are going to be there, and the committee knows that. So we manage the facility and we provide the services within the direction that's established by the Promise Zone, which has served to be kind of like our not only advisory committee, but I think it's been our North Star. They've established kind of the direction for us, the type of programs that we need to have, and the ecosystem that's necessary for us to succeed.
So we talked the Promise Zone. That was an Obama era initiative. We've got a different thing going on now in the White House. Wondering, you know, is that stuff going to continue? Are we still going to see federal dollars and federal attention to these needs?
That's a wonderful question. But on the other hand, we've already heard that the Trump administration has an initiative called the Envision Center, and they're actually taking the same approach that we saw under the Promise Zone under the Obama administration. And we've been designated, in fact, we've petitioned to become an Envision Zone ourselves. So I think that the idea of having these zones of opportunity, the idea of having integrated services is the future, irrespective of what administration is there. But the other component is that I think there's a real commitment to ensure that there are the resources locally to sustain these programs. So we've been looking at elements like tuition-free communities and looking at the ETSI at the WETSI as places where we would partner this in partnership, obviously, with the stakeholders that may be part of those communities. But tuition-free is a very important part of what we're trying to do. And then the other thing, too, is to offer training programs and demand occupations. And for us, these are career pathways in the IT area, information technology. There's 10 jobs for every one graduate that's out there. So a lot of opportunities there. Health career is consistently a high demand occupation, and advanced manufacturing as well, where you continue to see these skill gaps. And these are the centers that are going to be creating the bridges into those jobs. So again, important to look at it both short-term and long-term in terms of the sustainability component.
So you mentioned the opportunity zones, and this is something that was created by the President Donald Trump's $1.5 trillion tax cut. It was a little noticed provision that carved out several billion dollars for economically disadvantaged areas, and there's going to be a lot of competition for who's going to be able to get that. It's not guaranteed that we're going to be able to get that for the Promise Zone, for the East Side, or any side of San Antonio. So how do you, you got to gather the numbers, you got to get the data, you got to build the case. And so, Michelle, is that what you're doing?
Right. So, you know, we definitely want to make sure that, I mean, nobody will ever be against education. We want to make sure that students get what they need in order to be able to succeed. You know, the best social program you could ever have is a job. It brings pride. It brings that whole main
the best crime prevention program is
right,
a job.
Right. Absolutely. And it sure does. If you're busy, you don't have time to get in trouble. You definitely have to start working on that and be able to move forward. So we also utilize the training center as a hub for events, too. We'll have backpack giveaways for the summer, or like around back to school time. We also have different events for the kids. We'll hold any type of like East Side geared event directly there.
Community support events.
Community support events, so that everyone's familiar with where it is. And this time, you know, maybe when they do walk in, because, you know, they want to be part of it, it's not scary. And they've been there before, and they're familiar with the place, so it definitely makes it more comfortable for them as well.
So, what are the numbers? What numbers are we seeing coming out of the Etsy right now? Do we have those?
Yes, we sure do, and they're amazing numbers, by the way. You talked about the Westside Education Training Center, and there we've seen a traffic of about 500 enrollments per year. At the Etsy, we started with 300 enrollments, obviously, in that first year. So we've seen tremendous interest in that. But last year, we had 3,700 individuals that actually contacted the center and actually visited the center to find out more about opportunities that are there. So clearly, there's a lot of word of mouth going out there. But there's also this hub that we talked about. It takes a village. The partners are using, as Michelle has indicated, the center as the hub, where people will now, and organizations now, are using it to let the community know what's available, not only at the Etsy, but within our various organizational structures. So it's becoming kind of the place to go if you, again, want to connect to jobs in higher education.
So, Councilman Shaw, people in the community sometimes are kind of take a wait-and-see approach. They want to see if something's for real, and then they'll jump in on board. So where are we in the process on that?
Oh, it's working. It's working, and people understand that it's working. They see it working. When they see their neighbors, they used to hang out together. Next time that one neighbor is no longer hanging out, and you ask them, where are you going? I'm going to Etsy. And next thing you know, they ask them, where are you going? I'm going to work. And then they say, where are you going next? I'm going to the bank to deposit my check. Or I'm taking my wife or my girlfriend or my husband or boyfriend out for dinner, or the kids. I mean, it's just, they do amazing work at the Etsy.
And people, and the word of mouth, like, I mean, you have to spread the word, like
right.
We're doing right now. This
right.
is why we're talking about this today, is because if we don't spread the word, then things don't continue on.
Right.
You know, we wake up the next day and there's a story in the papers and funding's gone.
Right.
So how do we, you know, talk about that real quick?
We just have to keep showing the success. And this is a long-term success. It's not just it's going to happen overnight. And I believe facilities like the Etsy will change communities. It's going to change generational and hopefully turn that to generational wealth, generational pride of their family, their communities, of their environments. So this is just getting the ball rolling. Long term, this is going to have amazing positive effects for our community.
You know, naysayers look at things like the budget, the overall budget for the whole program, and they say, oh, you had 500 graduates last year. I could have bought every single one of those people a brand new car with the amount of money that went into this program. But they don't look at what the whole thing
right.
is actually doing. The long-term benefits, not just for the community, but multi-generational, how this can really change the trajectory, not just of one life, but of a circle of lives, a whole array of folks. We're going to keep talking about what's happening with the Etsy, the Eastside Education and Training Center, WETSE. Also, what do we need to do about training programs here in San Antonio? Or do you live on the East Side? Tell us what you think the needs are for the community. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about ETSI, which is the East Side Education and Training Center. We've also got WETSI in San Antonio. It's the West Side Education and Training Centers. These are one-stop places to help residents find their place in the workforce. They have job training. There's child care also, GED services, job placement, all sorts of opportunities for individuals. The first thing you got to do to take advantage of these services is to show up. And we can talk about that throughout the rest of the hour. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And Tony is on the line. And Tony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Some time ago on TV, they showed a program for people who were previously incarcerated. And there are some people who were incarcerated who realized they made a bad mistake and they want to change their way of living. And then, of course, there are some people that should not ever get out of jail. And I want to know if they have programs for people like that.
All right, Tony, thank you for the call. And Michelle Vigil, do you want to take that question?
Absolutely, yes. There are many types of programs where we work with individuals that may have a record who feel like, you know, they definitely need to want that second chance. Maybe they did something when they were very young, and that's something that they will carry with them for the rest of their lives. So we work really hard to make sure that there are programs that fit, you know, their needs and are able to help them succeed and be able to find a job. We work a lot with the portions of like IT, construction. It all depends on what field they're in, you know, and also to make sure that it's a good fit for them and that they're able to also be able to prosper.
All right. The number to call in, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the East Side Education and Training Center. Do you live on San Antonio's East Side? Do you see changes coming to your area, changes that you're encouraged by? And let's go to George. And George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, yes. I had a couple of questions. One of my questions was, is there an income bracket that is required? Like if you make too much money, you can't use some of these programs for the ETSI is one of my questions. The second question was, what exactly do you guys help provide for the vocational nursing program? I have a brother who is trying to go to nursing school, and he's currently doesn't qualify for financial aid because he's single and he makes too much money. And so he's paying pretty much his tuition out of pocket.
All right, George, thank you for that great call. I appreciate that. So let's go to Federico Zaragoza, the Vice Chancellor of Economic and Workforce Development for the Alamo Colleges.
Right. So initially, just want to emphasize that at the ETSI, we consider that a tuition-free zone. So income is never a barrier.
Do you have to be a resident of that area?
We target it. If they're at the center, there are customers. And so we're not going to differentiate between attendance zones, although 99% obviously are from the designated target area. But at the ETSI, from day one, it was designated as a tuition-free zone. That was one of the promised zone objectives, and we incorporate that into our model. And so as partners, when we have individuals that don't qualify for grants, then we go into basically non-grant funds to be able to cover their tuition. So we have a pool of resources from various non-federal, non-state kind of revenue sources that we use to provide tuition assistance to anybody that would be that would need it to enter one of the programs. And that includes our LVN program. We have tuition support. And we have both grants and then access to some of these funds that we've created as part of the ETSI to ensure that everybody that walks in the door, if there is a educational opportunity in front of them, that we can get them engaged. The key for us is engagement. If we don't engage people, we lose people. And so we know that. That was one of the, I think, genius parts of the Promise Zone considerations, that from day one we be a tuition-free zone.
What about hours? Are you able to provide services during non-traditional hours?
Most of our programs run our 8 to 5, in part because we're still working on the infrastructure we need to, and we have a $1.5 million EDA grant to create more parking space, better lighting, and also to basically expand classrooms. So we currently are maxed out during the day hours, and we'll be expanding for next fall.
All right, here's another caller. Let's go more back to the, he was talking about nursing training stuff, and so is that Michelle? Can you talk more about that? I mean, I know there's different levels of medical tech and all that, and y'all have those.
Right. And it's definitely a career that is very much in demand. You know, San Antonio is notorious. You know, we have many, many hospitals in the city, and they always need someone to be able to assist. There are programs that, you know, they have different hours. You know, nursing is a 24-hour day job. So depending on, you know, if you have to maybe watch the kids during the day or anything like that, you're able to work in the evening or be flexible. So that's something that students also look for to make sure that they're able to be there for their kids and be able to have that time. It's also
also a lot of medical needs that don't involve actual hands-on with patients, being able to deal with all the paperwork and stuff, and that requires a certain amount of training.
Right, and it's a pathway. You know, you can start off as an LVN, and then you can move yourself all the way up to an RN. You know, just being able to stay persistent and stay on track, and we've seen that from many students.
Okay, I also want to touch on that very quickly, and that's also stackable. So you have individuals that go in and just get their CNA first to get a job, and then they come back and the MA, and then they come back and get the LVN, and then they come back and get the RN. So they can incrementally kind of move in that whole career pathway.
And each time they move up, they increase their earning.
Absolutely.
All right, now, which is the objective, because we need to help people make sure that when they get a job, that work pays. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go get Evan on the air here. Evan called in. Hey, Evan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, how you doing? I was listening in, and I heard you say something about, like I said, people getting mixed up with the law and not really knowing the system, and then signing the plea bargain. And I'm kind of in that situation. I've actually done 6 years in the Navy. I have an associate's for Network Systems Administration, but it's been kind of hard to get a job, like I said, with something on your record. And I was wondering, does this program kind of help for people with that? Like, I have a job now, but it's making about $10 an hour, and I spend, like I said, most of my time there. I'm not really able to take care of my son. I'm also a single father. So I was wondering, do y'all have any programs that kind of assist for people in those situations?
All right. Thank you for the call, Evan. And so Michelle Vigil is the Senior Management Analysis for the Office of East Point.
Yes, Evan, absolutely. We would actually love to see you if you'd like to swing by at the Eastside Education and Training Center every Tuesday at 9 a.m. We have free info sessions. We can connect you with a career navigator that can assist you and also point you to the way to employers that are also looking to hire, no matter, you know, if you do have a background. Also, you're a veteran in that case as well, since you were also served in the Navy. Please let us know. Swing by. It's 4551 Dietrich Road, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. And any of our career navigators can be able to point you to the right direction and be able to connect you with an employer that is definitely willing to hire you.
And Federico Zaragoza, can you talk more about services for veterans?
Absolutely. So veterans is one of our priority populations, obviously, not only within the ETSI, but within the Alamo College system. And so there are many specialists, and their focus is on veteran services. And it's, again, not just being able to provide the tuition support, but also address some of the other considerations that that many veterans have as they transition into the local communities. So we have specialists on site. We're also part of a network. And again, each one of these networks has a case manager that can be assigned to the veteran. So from day one, they get connected not only to a program, but to a support system.
Now, the caller, this is Michelle. Michelle, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to give you all a quick background on me. I'm 27 years old. I grew up middle income from Bernie, abusive dad, you know, got kind of screwed up, drinking and drugging since I was 14, a lot of trouble with the law as a teenager, and then into my early 20s. I was told I wasn't going to go anywhere. You know, you're going to OD, you're going to be a young single mom, all of that. I made it into law school. I made it into politics. And it's been because of people like you and you guys. If I struggled so much coming from middle income, how much worse could it get? You know what I mean? We need to be hitting our most disadvantaged and pushing, you know, it's empathy, gratitude, personal accountability. Let's teach our citizens how to fish, you know, not just giving them fish, building them up. And I feel that guy, Evan, who just spoke, when you are having to hide your record because of your own, you know, guilt and your shame and employers, you know, you pick up on, you know, their feelings and their judgments, and that eats you up on the inside, and you can't reach your full potential with that.
Michelle, thank you so much for the call. Everybody's nodding their head, and they hear what you're saying. So Michelle Vigil, I mean, you've had people who have come through the program. that they have turned their lives around?
Absolutely. You know, it offers that chance to be able to do better. And thank you, Michelle. You know, that type of stories that you just mentioned right now gives hope to so many students that feel like, you know, they have zero resources, and, you know, come from difficult backgrounds and homes, that, you know, they also can prosper and they can also do better and they can also advance. So we're here, you know, definitely, you know, like I said, every Tuesday, 9 a.m., come by, talk to one of our navigators, career navigators, and they will get you on track.
All right. And so, Councilman Shaw, can you sort of tell me how you what you're hearing from Michelle there?
It's amazing work. You know, me and Michelle, our offices work very closely together on a lot of different topics and issues. And the ETSI, just, it's amazing. It's amazing on the work that they do and how they can bring communities together for long-term successes and goals. And one thing that I really appreciate about the program is that they offer what they call a financial empowerment, or it's a counseling for when they do receive those paychecks. So teaching folks, it's more than just earning and spending. It's about earning and saving and investing for long-term growth and development. And I think that's really important to keep that in mind, because we're talking about generations, not just a lifetime. And I think ETSI provides a great opportunity for the next generations.
And on that note, we also have the Dual Generation Program, which is from United Way there at the ETSI, which also focuses on mother and child to make sure that, you know, they're both okay. If, you know, mom and the child are doing good, you know, that definitely helps on the job component and also being able to go to school.
Yeah, the dual generation model calls for both child and adult family members to receive high quality services that address a range of needs. Services include tuition assistance, resume assistance, job readiness, job search assistance, case management, child care assistance, all sorts of programs, assistance, wraparound services that help people get into the workforce. I want to thank Michelle Vigil. She has to leave us, take care of a family matter. She's a senior management analyst at the Office of East Point. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to continue our conversation with Councilman Shaw and with Federico Zaragoza, the Vice Chancellor of Economic and Workforce Development at Alamo College. The Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. The East Side Education and Training Center, ETSI, is changing lives. How do we keep these programs? How do we spread these programs, empower more people to take advantage of these programs, make sure that they continue to be funded? The number is 210-614-8980. And Fran is on the line. Fran, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm wondering if this program has anything that's not during office hours. What I heard was, oh, yeah, swing by 9 a.m. to a guy who's making $10 an hour and probably doesn't get paid if he doesn't show up. Don't you do something like even once a month?
All right, Fran, thank you for the call. And so, Federico Zaragoza.
So we do have many weekend hours, and we do have weekend events. So there are times when we open our committee sessions to late hours. We just don't have courses at this point because of the limitations that we have with the facility as it's being expanded to offer evening programs. But again, there are services, and we are accessible beyond the 8 to 5 o'clock.
Okay, but go online, check them out online if you can. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, well, I would say call our number. It's 468-555, and we'll get back to you.
So Councilman Shaw, this is really the product of all sorts of different entities in San Antonio. SAISD played a role, all sorts of – the city is coming up with sustainable funding. Is that right?
That is correct.
And so can you talk about, I mean, how – every time there's a new budget cycle, everything gets another squint at. Are we going to keep this? You know, how do y'all make sure this is going to be around for the long term?
You know, this council now is really data driven, and it's thinking about programs that has positive end results. And ETSI has proven that they have positive end results. So we are working with city staff to ensure that they do receive funding. I know the city is very responsible for the daycare, the child care that's provided. As well as it did provide a startup grant when the ETSI first started off. But we're going to continue to have these conversations to make sure that the ETSI is properly funded.
But at the end, it's the voters that decide where the money goes, right? I mean, the voters set the tone for the city. Are we going to be a city of generosity, a city of compassion,
correct,
a city of second chances?
Right.
And are we going to be a harsh, you know, bean counter kind of a city? You know, it's up to the voters.
Right. And about who they elect in public office. you know, those voters elect certain individuals with certain principles. Hopefully that those principles match those of their constituents.
And you wanted to jump in.
Dave, yeah, and I just wanted to kind of remind the listeners out there that the Alamo College's Board of Trustees, in fact, approved a five-year kind of partnership lease where all of the partners basically are now providing the substantive funding to maintain services over a five-year period. So initially, there is a memorandum of agreement that basically says, we're in this for the long run, and for the next 5 years, here's the actual plan.
Okay, now the caller, this is Linda. And if you want to join in, the number is 210-614-8980. And Linda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Enjoying the program. I was just curious. I'm originally from Virginia, and I went to a school that was similar to what you now call a magnet school. But I actually took my LVN training when I was in high school. And I was wondering, are there any plans to maybe push the LVN programs out to the high school?
All right, Linda, thank you for the call. And so I don't know if you can answer that question, Federico.
Absolutely. In fact, St. Philip's College right now and the ETSI are working to create a pathway, if you will, for SISD students, and it's primarily with SISD and Sam Houston as the key high school, to create these dual credit type opportunities where they could graduate from high school with an LVN certificate. So they would walk the stage graduating from high school, and then the next day they would probably walk the college stage with an LVN certification. So those are the kinds of programs that we're hoping to bring to the ETSI as an expansion of what we do now.
Seems like a lot of issues we have with high school completion is that a lot of kids don't have so much uncertainty about their future. They need flexibility, but they need some level of certainty. And if they don't know, why am I going to this crazy school every day and dealing with all this nonsense, they don't see that there is a process and where that process is taking them and how we can lead to them to find sustainable and rewarding careers, then they don't stick with it. And this is all part of that, you know, the chain of events. It has to be laid out for them.
And those pathways have to start earlier. We've got 12,000 students in dual credit. And so these centers are going to be connecting opportunities within that model as well. So we're not going to wait until they either graduate or not graduate. We want to get them while they're still in kind of developmental phases and create those pathways into higher education and into those career pathways as well.
So all the more important that the stories of success are told. So Councilman Shaw, not just telling them so that taxpayers know that their money is being spent on areas that are well, good investments, but also that our youth see that hard work does pay dividends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so when I attended the graduation a couple of months ago, I met an individual, a young lady, and we just had a conversation, and she was telling me her story. She was in an abusive relationship, had two kids. She depended on her abuser to make a living. She didn't talk to her family very much. But then when she entered to the ETSI, it gave her hope. It gave her a chance. So what she did, she took that initial step. Number one, she left her abusive relationship and turned to her grandparents. Her grandparents were very strict, but they told her, as long as you're going to school or have a job, we'll help you out. And so she was able to leave her children with the grandparents while she went to class. And there, and one of the instructors, and this was a very emotional time for her, was very supportive. And it was more than just, I'm your teacher, you're my student. They established a relationship. And she became a mentor, or the teacher became a mentor to the student and followed her path. And when you see them together, they look more like friends now than they do as a teacher and a student relationship. And that's just what ETSI does. It gives people that hope, that opportunity to say, you know what, we can do better. We can always move forward with our financial situations, with employment opportunities, and with our families. So it was just a very touching story when she sat down to tell me that. She was very open and honest with us.
Here's another caller, and this is Roberto. And Roberto, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I was calling to find out if there's any programs for mentally ill patients. This is not for me. Okay, it's for one of my relatives, young relative, and has a lot of problems trying to hold a job down because of her illness.
Okay, well, Roberto, thank you for the call. I think you bring up a great point that we have a lot of different needs in our community. Some of them are very particular, and I didn't want to press you for details because I don't want to have to, go into someone's privacy or whatever. But things are complicated for individuals. So Federico Zarzagoa, can you talk about, how you meet different needs?
So we talked about the importance of assessment, not testing, but assessment, the ability to create individual pathways for individuals, giving their unique circumstances. And one of the things that we do as part of our orientations is just that assessment, and then making sure that we connect individuals to the right services. So veterans have a very unique kind of track and support system, and so do individuals that might have some disabilities. But we are connected to those networks. And so after the assessment is completed, we basically ensure that there is a referral, and not just a referral, but a placement into the right system. So again, the ETSI, while it may not be the place where you actually get the service, it is the place that would connect you to where you can get those needed services.
How hard was it? I mean, why did it take so long? This thing's been around for 2 years. Why haven't we had it for 20 years? I mean, what's up with that? You know, so I know you've only been around a little while,
right.
Councilman Shaw, you can't answer for that, but it seems like it's the natural solution for many of the problems that we've had for so long.
It's about timing. It's about timing, and it's about getting people all on the same page and be able to go outside of our comfort zones and have conversations with different entities that can come together for one common purpose. And I think all the partners with this did that finally. And nothing, like I said before, nothing's going to just change overnight. It's not going to be 100% when it first started off. Trial and error. But this time, I think they've weeded out a lot of the problems that they had, which was very minimal, but now they're moving forward, and the production is amazing.
David, we've also had very fragmented systems. So we've had a lot of organizations, but they each have their specialty. And it's never been really integrated in a one-stop environment. The other part to this is there's a recognition by many institutions, and certainly the Alamo College is one of them, and that is that we have to go into these communities and provide the services in those environments and create bridges into our institutions. So it's a combination of maturity of the system, and then secondly, a recognition that the model that we had before was just not working as well as it needed to.
So what's next? Where does this program go now?
So we're very excited because I think that not only are we beginning to see the supply side, the training, but bringing employers into the discussion is very important so that they're part of the experience at the ETSI. Secondly, I think the whole economic development discussion is exciting to me because we have employers that are coming into the area and they're looking for a workforce, and what a better place to recruit from than the ETSI. When you get the whole system working together, this is going to be basically the place that you want to be. This is where the action will be. This is where the opportunity is going to be. And not just for the community residents, also for the employers, because this is their future workforce.
Right. And so many times we've seen things come about and they set up shop and they say and make all these promises. And then, then something happens, they go away. So, I mean, we got to figure out how to make sure that ETSI and WETSI and all the other programs continue to provide these services. We know there's, I mean, you can tell there's a need, right?
Absolutely.
You're seeing a maxed out need right now.
Yep, absolutely. It was very interesting. We did a tour this morning, and they weren't aware of the ETSI. And so we connected the dots. And so hopefully the ETSI and this employer will be able to start working with one another to find the workforce.
All right. And that was Councilman William Cruz Shaw from District 2. And we've got Federico Zaragoza. He is the Vice Chancellor of Economic and Workforce Development for the Alamo Colleges. Earlier, we heard from Michelle Vigil, the Senior Management and Analyst for the Office of East Point. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.